giving you praise and glory and honor for all that you've given us, Lord, for this great day and this great hour, for all the revelation, Lord, that you've bestowed upon your bride. Lord, we're so happy to be a part of this great ministry of the last days, Lord. Not the ministers, Lord, just them, but Lord, the whole bride. This is the day of the bride. And Lord, that you have anointed her, Lord, that you have put that preeminence in her, that you have made her one with you. And Lord, that she can do but one thing, and that's manifest you. Lord, that her life is surrendered in all things. And we thank you and praise you, Father, to be a part of that. Lord, may you bless the furtherance of this service now. Lord, we thank you for the songs. We thank you for the sweetness of your spirit. We thank you for your presence. Lord, may you just have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're so happy to be here and good to see you. And I have right here my notes to mention Sister Amanda and Brother Goomba and all those that are not here. And we want to continue to pray for them. I'm sure Brother Goomba's in the air now and on the way. So we're believing that God will give him traveling mercy.
Amen.
And he'll be home safely tomorrow. So we thank God. And then for each one, Brother Michael, I think, has mentioned. And we just want to hold them right before the Lord. Now, tonight, I'd like to get right into the message. And I would like to pick up where we left off on Sunday. And I want to read a quote out of the message, A Man Running from the Presence of the Lord. And this quote is going to say the same thing that he said in the message, The Voice of the Sign. And there'll be one part there that it doesn't repeat, but he's going to say basically the same thing. And now there's a little bit of lead up to this in paragraph 136, but I want to read it because he's setting the stage, he's setting the basis for where he's going and what he's trying to get across. And he has a purpose and he has a plan, and he's wanting to establish a thought. And so, and the reason I'm reading this, the same thing, it's the same thing again, but Brother Branham said this several times. And so I want to, because I want that to be well established, because some people, and let me stop and say this. There, I have quotes where Brother Branham said, we don't need a new thing. We don't need a new thing. He said, that's the problem. Everybody's trying to bring something new, something new, something new. And now I'm bringing you the other side of that statement and telling you that he's saying that Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way that he's the same is that he does something new in every age. That's how he's the same. And that something new is something that the people never knew. They never understood. They never seen it. They never heard it. And he said that they don't understand it. When it comes, they don't understand it, because that another way that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever is that he reveals to the elect of the day, he gives them the revelation of the word that's predestinated, promised for that day, to manifest. Those are the promised attributes. Those are the manifestation of God in that day and in that hour. And so that's what he's doing. So just like we said about Brother Branham talking about the scriptures, and I wanted to bring them, but I think we've mentioned it well enough. But when he's talking about in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, he's saying that don't add and don't take away. And he says in Ecclesiastic, I think we did read those. He talked about that. Don't add, don't take away. Don't change it, don't mess with it, leave it there. In the New Testament, the same thing. In Revelations, he said, don't add, don't take away. In Galatians, he said, if he or an angel say anything different than what's already been said. So are we saying something different? Are we saying something different? Or are we just a part of the furtherance of that revelation? That's the difference. There's a furtherance of that revelation. And we're going to see that. I want to show that in the Old Testament Because the whole Old Testament, when you really start looking at it and you're thinking about what's taking place, and we read in Numbers 16, and we talked about Moses, and everything about Moses' ministry was constantly something that had never been done since the world began. All of it, all of the supernatural, all of the miracles, all of the word, all of the revelation, all of it was things being established that had never been done ever before, is the mysteries for that day that were hid from the foundation of the world. And so then it just continued right through, all the way through the scripture. And so, but I'm aware that Brother Branham said, we don't need something new. And so that's why I mentioned those scriptures, because when he's saying don't add, he's talking about man. He's talking about man adding his idea and his theology and his Bible school and his us interpreting what God has said. And that's what he's telling you. Don't do it. It's not your place. It's not my place. We're not here for that. We're here to believe what he said. And when he says something new, we're here to believe that. And when he says something new, we're here to believe that. And he just keeps right on. Amen. And so when I first started this, I thought this is too elementary, and it's not gonna. And then I'm finding that there's controversy. There's actually controversy there, because people are afraid of that. They're afraid of something new, and it's always been. It's always been that way. People are afraid of something new, and so they want to go back to what was in the past, or they just want to look forward to what's going to be. And you say looking forward is good, and that is good, except when you're looking forward to something that's happening right now.
That's right.
That's when it's not good.
That's right.
And when you're looking back, and you're rejoicing in that, and you're living there, and you won't come to this, or you bypass this, and you trying to get there. It's not going to work. So let's just read what he says here. 136, I'm duty bound to a message that's been given to me from Almighty God. And as I stand here tonight, God knows that's true. That down, right down on this river, there is people perhaps sitting here when the angel of the Lord come down there and told me what he did. Right there in 1933, right down on this Spring Street here. If you're a stranger here, drive right down. It's the corner of Spring Street. There, where you hit the river, there is where it happened. That's been in 1933. It's probably been about 32 years ago then. See, it's been 32 years ago. And how that he has brought that right down everything. Huh? What's he brought? There was a voice. There was a voice that spoke out of that pillar of fire. There was a voice that spoke out of that cloud and said that as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, you will pack a message that will forerun the second coming.
That's
right. See? And how that he has brought that right down everything. And we've been out bringing the message and seen the sick healed, and the blind, and the crippled, and the lame, and halt, and everything. And then we see even the dead that we know that's been verified, raised up from the dead. The people die, raised right back to life. See, again, all of these things. We've seen all of those great supernatural. We've seen all of those great things. And I posted a quote today that my wife sent me, and she had been reading this message, The Voice of the Sign. And so she ran across this, and at the same time, Jeffersonville put out the same thing on their quotes. And where Brother Branham was talking about the voice of the sign, believing, and he identified it. He said the sign of Sodom, and that's the thing that we see today is the sign of Sodom. We see that in the natural, we see that in the world, we see it in the politics, we see it in the people, in the churches. We see it everywhere. And so, and a lot of times it's more than just the homosexuality, but that's a big, big part of it. And as Brother Branham said in the 60s, he said homosexuality in Los Angeles is on the rise 30% a year. I think he said last year, and that was like 64, 65. He said last year, 30% increase in homosexuality in Los Angeles. And look where they are now. Look where they are right now. San Francisco is the gay capital of the world. If you go there, you're going to be the oddball. That's like going up here where we went to this Providence when we went up to Massachusetts. Now, there's an island there, and you go there. It's nice, and there's a lot of to see there. But you go there, and you're going to find out you're the oddball. If you're walking down with your partner being the opposite sex, you're going to be the oddball. They're going to be looking at you. And so that's a condition. That's a condition. It's a Sodom condition. And Brother Branham said that people believe and they recognize the Sodom condition. He said, but why, if they can believe that and they can recognize that, why can't they receive also the voice? The voice of the sign, and he identified the voice. And it's the only place I know that he done this. He identified the voice. He said, the sign of Sodom and the voice of Malachi 4. There's a voice. Malachi 4 is the voice that's speaking in this last day. And so we know that it's God. So the sign there, the natural sign there, and then the voice is there speaking, identifying exactly what it is. And so it's a great thing. So Brother Ram says, if a message goes forth, there is signs and wonders. See? And then 137, when there's signs and wonders, and you still see the same old school of thought, see, that you come up with. This is what he was saying in that message. This is what he hammered it over and over and over again, identifying that when God sends signs and wonders, when God sends a gift, when God does the supernatural, when there's a great thing, a great revival hitting the earth, then that sign is there to get the attention of the people. And that sign is to let you know that God is going to do something, that God is going to speak, God is going to bring a message, and the prophet is telling us and identifying that if it's the same old idea, he told us, then you know that it's not God, that you know. So he's telling us, he's training us, he's teaching us, he's giving us discernment. There, by the word, he's given us discernment that when I see somebody come with some great gift and some great signs and wonders, and they're powerful preachers and they're doing great things, and then they don't come with the voice of the word of the age, then I don't have to study them. I don't have to wonder about them. I can know right then. God's not in that. That's wrong. I don't care how much gifts. I don't care how much anointing. I don't know how much power they got, how many great things they do. But maybe they talk just sugar running off their lips. Everything they say, it's just pleasing to the ears. It's just wonderful. You just love to hear them speak. There's people like that. There's preachers like that, good preachers. Just everything. You just like to hear them talk. But if they don't line up with the word, if they don't line up with the revelation, then you know. You know. Nobody has to tell you. The preacher don't have to tell you. He's already told you. Yeah. God has already told you. God's already identified.
Yeah.
We can read it and we can remind you. But you know. You know. That thing's built into you. That revelation is in you. It's manifesting. And you still see that same old school of thought that you come up with? Huh? You come up with, you was raised with, the last 2,000 years it's been going on, the same idea, same idea, same idea. That was fine. That was fine in Luther's day. That was fine in Wesley's day. That was great in Pentecost. Because it was bringing again that which fell on the day of Pentecost. That was wonderful. That was great. It was a great outpouring. It was powerful. The anointing was there. Azusa Street. It was a great time. It was a great revival. The supernatural, you read about the things that was happening then. It was powerful. It was the hand of God was doing great things. The problem was that from there, they didn't follow the voice. They didn't follow the voice. They stayed with that and they denominated right there. Brother Branham said that proved that that was not it. They thought that was the restoration. They thought that was the thing. Brother Branham said no. They left the word. They took it and they said, tongues is the evidence. They took it and said, the gifts is the evidence. They took in all of those things and they denominated it. They tried to make something out of it that God didn't intend. And so God was getting their attention for the voice. They don't want to hear the voice. They don't want to hear that. God's trying to get your attention. See? Oh, he says the same thing here that he said over there. And you still see that same old school of thought that you come up with that didn't come from God. There he's saying it again. That didn't come from God. So he's telling me that I can identify these things. He's telling me when I see it and they leave the word, that didn't come from God. God is trying to get your attention attracted to something. See? And then when Jesus went out, he started healing the sick, doing great works and things. See? Jesus did it. Moses and Jesus done it. The rest of them, when he was here, he did it. He's doing it the same today. See? When he sends forth a meeting like that, revivals, starts a meeting in the earth and starts moving along with all these great signs and wonders. What happened today? A gift rose up, and what did it do? It went around the world. It started. You read the books. You read the history. You read the ones. They acknowledge that the healing ministry, the revival, started with William Mary and Branham. Even though they don't like his doctrine, even though they don't like him, they make all kinds of stuff. They say he believed this and this and this. And you know they didn't follow through because what they're saying is not right. They don't have the revelation of what he was actually saying. But they bring stuff and they misrepresent it. And so, but they acknowledge the gift. They acknowledge the sign. And that's what Brother Branham said. He said, they love the sign. They love the healing. They love that. They loved it in Jesus' day. They love the fish and the loaves. You can imagine free food. Yeah. That to them, and you look at it today, that's where people are. There was anything free. It don't matter. They'll follow anything. You give them something free. You want to have a gathering? Prepare a meal. Prepare a meal. I've seen they do it. I've worked for people that to get the people go to church on Sunday. And so they wanted to get them on Wednesday night. They didn't have nobody coming. They have a little crowd like this here in a big church that has maybe hundreds of people. And the people won't come out because they're working. People aren't going to sacrifice their time. They're not going to sacrifice their effort. They're not going to put anything extra into it. When there's not something in here. It's got to be something in here. And then you're going to sacrifice. Then you're going to go after him. You're going to have a dedication. And so I was talking to some of these customers that I've had over the years. And they told me that what they started doing, the reason they started going to church on Wednesday is because they started fixing a dinner. So now they don't have to cook supper. So now they take the kids, they go to church, they listen to the little message, and then they get a free meal. So now they're saving money. They don't have to cook supper. They don't have to wash the dishes. They just take the children home, put them in bed, and how convenient it is. And I had a young man, teenager, working for me one time, and he told me, and I knew he was in drugs, and he was just, his life was all messed up. And so one Wednesday afternoon, you know, I always bring home, he said, Don, I'm going to church. I said, that's wonderful. And I was like amazed because I knew his life. And so I knew he was all messed up. And I said, well, that's just great. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, on Wednesday night, we play basketball. He said, they have a gym. And said, on Wednesday nights, we go in and the pastor, he reads a scripture or something. And then we play basketball for an hour. And I said, oh, I said, that's what you do on Wednesday night. And he said, yeah, it's great. It's great. And I'm like, where are they at? Where are they at? That's the carnality of people. That's the carnality. It's just like some little bribe or something. You don't have to bribe. Brother Branham said, the bride is strong. The bride has got hair on their chest. Huh? You know the terminology. Yeah, they're not weak. They're strong. Amen. See, he's doing it, the same thing today, when he sends forth a meeting like that, revivals. He starts a meeting in the earth. He starts moving along with these great signs and wonders. And then you see come back that same old school of teaching, Huh? There's something wrong somewhere. There is something new coming forth. That's it. There's something new coming forth. Huh? Not man, not man's idea, not man's theology. God is going to do something new. God is going to do something. Listen, God doesn't get tired of it. God doesn't run out. What's amazing is that's people's idea. That God did something back here, and now that's what God's going to do every time, just like that. That's the furthest from the truth.
Right.
What he did in Moses' day, he's not doing it today. But what he is doing, he is revealing himself. He's hiding it from the non-seed. He's doing the supernatural. He's doing the powerful. That's how he's the same. But he's doing something new. He's doing something they never seen, never experienced before. He's doing something great. And so, it's hidden from the people. Isn't it astounding when you think about it that 2 million people seeing the ministry of Moses, seeing the power of God, seeing the water turn to blood, seeing the fleas, seeing the flies, seeing the firstborn die, seeing all of those things come out, crossed over the Red Sea on dry land, not even muddy now, not even any wet ground, not moist, not like it rained last night, on dry ground.
Yes, sir.
They crossed over. Then they watched them be swallowed up.
Yes,
in the same water that they just crossed over.
Sir.
When they're walking through, before the waters came down, the waters came up.
That's right.
And it says that their chariots bogged down in the mud. So they just got done crossing on dry ground, and now they're getting bogged up, and their wheels are breaking, and the horses are getting stuck, and so that the first one stopped until they get all in there and fill it all up. And then the waters come back and takes them all out. Nobody swam out. Nobody made it out. How? How could it be that 2 million people seeing all of that, experiencing all of that, and only two of them could believe it? Tell me how that could be. Only two. That's astounding. When you stop and think about it, one out of a million, and they seen that. To me, that's the same as Cain. It's the same as Cain. God told him, said, just do what he did. Just do what he did, you'll be accepted. Cain wanted to worship God. Cain wanted to be accepted by God. Cain wanted to please God. Cain put effort into his sacrifice. He put effort into it. People put effort into their preaching and to their gifts and to their presentation to the people and their efforts to get the people and to do the things that they do. People put lots of work into it. But if they're not taking the voice, if they're not taking the word, then they are taking their own idea.
Yes,
they are doing something new, but they're doing their own thing. They're doing their own interpretation, their own idea. See, there is something new coming forth. That's right. See, 139. Now, he's a fine rabbi. He could go to any pulpit and preach. And when he was healing the sick. Now, that's the same today. And if you leave off the mysteries today, because that's the dividing line today, if you leave off the mysteries, you leave off the revelation, and you just preach a good social gospel, you can get in all of these places. But if you don't, then you're not going to be accepted in those places. And tell me, what is it that actually separates you? It's the thing, it's the revelation that God has revealed. Now, don't tell me for 1 minute that everyone in these big churches, everyone believes the same thing.
Right.
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
Right.
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
No.
No, some of them have their Christmas tree and some of them don't. Some of them have their television and some of them don't.
That's right.
That's right. Some of them do it, some of them don't.
Right.
They have all different levels. Some of them still wear their pants and some of them still cut their hair. And so, that doesn't divide them. That's my point.
That's right.
It doesn't divide them. It doesn't say, you can't come. We don't want you. You're not accepted here. It doesn't do that to them. It's when you have the revelation. When you're standing, when you are walking, when you are the living manifestation of the revealed word of this day, Jesus Christ, then there's something there. There's something there. Or you can go over there and set. But it's just a little bit different. It's a little bit different. See, healing the sick, raising the dead. One day he sat down and said, I and my Father are one. There's the difference right there. There's the difference. And I'm telling you, there's the difference in the bride today. Because this is the day that she has received the revelation that her and him is one and the same. This is that day. Oh, brother, he wasn't so popular after that. When he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. He wasn't so popular after that. No, that does something to them. That's a separation. Now, I'm going to throw in two or three little things here. And the first one here is in Isaiah. And if I got this right, and it doesn't matter for this quote, but for another scripture I'm going to read. Isaiah came, and I think it was around 700 B.C., and then Jeremiah was in the 600 somewhere, and then Ezekiel was in the 500 somewhere, maybe way up there, 580, 590, something like that, close to the 600s. Anyways, that was the order of those prophets coming. And so, let's just read. Behold, I will do a new thing. This is Isaiah. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, I haven't spent the time breaking this down, trying to find where the manifestation is exactly. I got one purpose in these, and that is he did a new thing. He did something. He promised to do something that had never been done before. That's the promise. I'm going to do a new thing. And so that's Isaiah speaking that. And so we know that it's there now, manifested in Israel. And so I feel like somewhere there it was manifested also. But I haven't took the time to search that out. It took a lot of time just to get what I got. So God in Isaiah day, doing a new thing. In Jeremiah's day, 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. Now, in Jeremiah's day, God's going to do a new thing again. Something never done before. A woman shall compass a man. Now, I spent a little bit of time on this, trying to see the history here and go back and find where this was. And there's a lot there. And you know, as you look at it, there's a lot of women in politics and different things coming through. And I was really surprised, even coming up, you know, we talk about the women getting the rights in the early 1900s, but you'll find there was women in office way back, going back. And in the early 1900s and in the late 1800s, there was women that were already breaking out and getting into those positions. But here, he's saying a woman shall compass a man. And so we know how that's escalated, and we see it in different ways. And there's a spiritual side and there's a natural side to these things. And so, but once again, I'm wanting to bring one point, that God was doing something new. God was doing something new in that day. So now, in Ezekiel's day, I'm going to begin at verse 1 here. I'll try to skip some of this, but I might have a little harder time. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? Now God is questioning them on a proverb that they have. They have a saying that they use. And God's going to say, what is this that you're saying? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, I think I've mentioned this maybe a few times. I don't know if I've ever read it to you. Verse 3. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have an occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. So this proverb, whatever it means, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Whatever they're using that to mean, talking about the fathers having done something and the children are fearing because of what the father had done. That's part of what's being said there. And so it's going to make it a little bit more clear as we go. As I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. God's going to do something. Yes. He's going to do something that will not allow them to say that anymore. So whatever is allowing them to do that, God's going to remove it. He's going to change it. 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a mistress's woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments, to deal truly, he's just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Now, he went to a lot of trouble, a lot of identification, to identify this person and what they do and they don't do. And then say that this person is going to live. So why wouldn't this person live? Why wouldn't they? And if he begat a son, that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife. And he goes on, talks about all those different things. Verse 14. Now, lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like. So make sure we're keeping the picture here. So we have somebody who's obeyed everything that God, right? And he has a son, and now his son disobeyed everything, right? That's what he said. Now the son has a son, and the son obeys everything. So we have a good guy, a bad guy, and a good guy again, right? That's the order. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's showing us. Now, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sin, which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that he had not eaten on the mountain, and neither lifted up his hands to idols, and not defiled his neighbor's wife. See, verse 17. That hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury, nor can increase, hath executed my judgments, hath walked in my statute, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. So there's the key right there. The key right there is that in that day, if the father did wrong, the whole family died. The son died, the wife died, the children died, the animals died. They destroyed everything. The whole family died together because the sin of one person in the family. If the father was doing something that the people didn't like, then they call that eating sour grapes. And now the children's are on edge because they're going to die for what the father does. And what made it worse is the people, the other people, are the ones that were putting the fear in them, because they were the ones who were going to be throwing the stones. They are the ones who were going to be killing them. And so this was the law. And I think we read it in Numbers there, where it looked like the first time that this was to take place. He told them, you kill, You kill them if they're doing this things that they shouldn't do. You if they're picking up sticks, they're carrying stuff, they're disobeying the law, whatever it is they're doing, then they should die. Okay, that was the law. And now he's saying, no longer is that going to be. The son's not going to die for the father. The father's not going to die for the son. So this was a new thing. This was something that just changed in a matter of a paragraph of words, a few sentences of words, in a moment's time. Just think, the total opposite of what they had been doing was completely being changed. It was a complete turnaround. When I thought about this, I thought, this would be a hard one, for they're just hearing a man say it, okay? So unless this man's has been vindicated and proven that he's the voice of God, then this could be a hard one to accept. That you're just going to completely change the way you're doing it. You're going to completely say, God don't want us to do it like this no more. Now we're going to do it like this. They had been taught to do this. That he takes off his hand from the poor, he hath received usury for nor increase, hath executed my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for the father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which was not good among his people, lo, he shall die in his iniquity. And yet ye say, here's what the people had to say, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. But the people wanted him to die. Yes, the people liked, they got where they liked it. Yep. They liked killing them. They liked having that fear over the family. Yep. That's the same in the spiritual. Yes. That's the same with preachers today. Putting people under that fear. Yep. Trying to hold them there. Trying to make them. No, we're out of that.
That's right.
We're out of that churchianity. God is no longer revealing himself in the church.
That's right.
God is revealing himself in his wife, in his bride, and there's no fear.
That's right.
There's no fear. There's nothing that I can make you do or not do or anything else.
Amen.
It should be God leading you by his spirit, by his word, by revelation. You should be moving by revelation.
Amen.
Every day of your life.
Yep.
Your whole life is to move by his spirit. To follow the leading of God in your life. That's what you're here for.
Yes,
that's what has been building up for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, is to get where you are right now.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
They had a peace. It was coming. But he hadn't opened it yet. He hadn't revealed it yet. He hadn't given it yet. That's what he said about the word and the spirit concerning the new birth. He said it hadn't been given yet.
That's right.
You said they it was given on the day of Pentecost. They received something, but it was in portion.
Yes.
It was in portion. Now it's in its fullness, and now you have it.
Yes.
You have what you need to move by the spirit. You have what you need to overcome Satan.
Amen.
You have what you need. In all things.
That's right.
You say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? And 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, to do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and he shall not die. Here is grace,
yes,
being introduced under the law.
Yes.
God's attribute, God's nature coming out now. Where the law has said, kill him, kill him, kill him.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, no, you're not going to die because of him anymore.
That's right.
And not only that, but if you repent of your sins, if you repent of this thing, and you obey my word. 22, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Now, I don't know how far this got along in that day, but he's pointing to another day too. He's pointing to this time, and he's going to identify it here. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he shall have trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, and them shall he die. And yet ye say, this is what baffles me. This is what is so hard for me to get. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal, and are not your ways unequal? They're telling God that it's right that this righteous man dies with this unrighteous man. That's what they're telling God. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to do that no more. And they're saying, you're not being fair. You're not being right. Isn't that amazing? You would think they would have been saying, what took so long for this to happen? Why have we waited for this? Yeah. 26. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. And again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turn away from all his transgression that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God is speaking to something that's going to take place that is new. Something that hasn't happened, something that they're not even understanding. They're not understanding it. And even when Jesus came and he spoke it to Nicodemus, he said, how can it be? Can I enter back into my mother's womb? How can this thing be that you're talking about? How can it be? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Amen. So he says a lot there, but he's talking about a new covenant that is coming. And there's more scriptures that goes with this view. If you read, and I ministered today this morning on the group Capstone, and I was telling them that I've been looking more. I had went many years in the message, and I just studied the message, and I read my Bible very little. I read most of my Bible reading was in the message. Brother Branham referred to it. Sometime I would go back and look, sometime I didn't. And I found sometimes I would be quoting scripture that, when I went to look for that scripture, it wasn't worded like that. It was the prophet speaking it by interpretation, by revelation, saying what the scripture was, but saying it in the light of the age. And so sometimes the wording was a little bit different. So sometimes you go back and you look for it and you think, man, that's, I've been saying it wrong according to the Bible, but I've been saying it right according to the revelation. And so I've found myself in the last couple of years really going back into scriptures, and you've seen that in the last year of ministering, that I've read a lot of scripture. But what's amazing to me is how it fits in. How this was the foundation. This was the foundation back there. He's identifying, showing what's here. He was speaking it all the time. I'm fixing to go here in Jeremiah, which was before Ezekiel. We just read this in Ezekiel, what God did in that day. Well, God spoke, and in one day's time, completely changed what they were doing. Completely changed this law, this idea, this tradition that they had made, and put it away from them. Now, and I had wondered how that something like that, the people could get it, unless that voice, which God does vindicate the voice, but unless the voice was vindicated already before that part prophecy came, sometimes he's vindicated later. And so he's speaking things that's not yet vindicated. And so I wondered how it would be. But this one, I was really surprised. This one is perfectly identified in the scripture. Watch. Okay, we read out of Ezekiel. And so Jeremiah came before Ezekiel. Chapter 31, verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. Now, I just throw that in there because it was intriguing and just a verse away from where I wanted to be. And there's another one at the end that is very intriguing, and I'm going to share it with you also. And it fits right in here. I haven't got it yet. I haven't had time to study it out. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down, to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. And in those days, they shall... So what's he saying? In those days. The Old Testament is full of this. In those days. Or in that day. That's another one. That's a lot of... In that day. In that day. In that day. Prophets are speaking it over and over and over. In that day, you shall know. You shall know. You shall know. Over and over. Why? Because God's going to reveal something new. God's bringing something new. God's going to show something that you don't have, that you don't know. See? In those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Isn't this amazing? Here, the very thing that Ezekiel comes and says, you're not going to do this anymore. I'm changing it right now, completely turning this thing around, completely where it won't be like that no more. But this was spoken less than 100 years before by another prophet, the exact same proverb. So they had been doing this for years and years and years. They were doing this and holding it over the people. It's just amazing. See, and not only that, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. This prophet is prophesying what that prophet is going to say. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Not everybody else, but that one, that one. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. You getting that? A new heart and a new spirit. Huh? A new covenant. See? I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. And in verse 34, this one, I can't interpret anything. And so, but I want so bad. And I'm going to find it somewhere. The Lord will help me. He's going to place this, And I'm seeing it right here in this day. But I just listen to what he's saying. And they shall teach no more. Now remember, he's talking about this new covenant, right? This new covenant, he's going to put it in them. It's going to live in them. It's going to be a living word in these people. Amen. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They're not going to be teaching that. Why aren't they going to be teaching that? For ye shall know, for they shall all know me. Huh? The day's coming. They're not going to be getting this one, this one, and this one. No, this coming the day that they're going to know me. And now, we know what John 14 says. That in that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And I in you, and you in me. In that day you shall know. You shall know. That's what he's saying. I know it sounds like that there's going to be maybe no more ministry or no more. I don't know. I don't know if that's what he's saying. I'm not interpreting it. But I know one thing, that we're not under that ministry that we just came out of. We're not in that ministry there where repent and be baptized and you shall be saved. Repent, do this, do this, do this, do this. Amen. And be a good person and maybe you'll be saved. We're not there. Where we're at is in the day when he has revealed to you.
That's right.
Who you are, where you came from, where you're going, what you're here for. He's revealed that you are in him and he is in you. And that you're one and the same.
Yes,
you're not different. You're one and the same. So you don't have to be taught at anybody when it's been revealed to you that you and him are the same. Huh?
That's right.
I'm not doing away with the preachers. I'm not doing away with none of that.
Amen.
It sounds like that's what I'm saying, but that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the teacher is in you.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. He's in you.
Amen.
Say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Does that fit perfectly with our message today? Does that fit perfectly with true justification? Absolutely. There is no sin in the bride. No, 1 John 3 has been revealed. She cannot sin because his seed remaineth in her. That's it. That's done. It's just done. That's right. Now, I have a couple of quotes here, and you can read them later if you like. But I'm just going to drop down to the message. What was the Holy Ghost given for? And I'm just going to read John 14, beginning at the 14th verse. And I want you to see all that he's saying here. All that he's saying here. I'm dropping down to the scripture itself. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. What a blessed promise. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. What? This comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. That's the problem. They don't see him. The problem was in Jesus' day, they seen a man, but they couldn't see God. The problem is today, they see a man, and they want to see that body 2,000 years ago. They want to see nail-scarred hands. Huh? They can't see God, because they're looking for something different. They're looking for some other way to identify. To the bride, he can't hide. No, because she knows. She knows him. She knows his nature. She knows what he looks like. She knows how he does. She knows that he's hiding himself. He's revealing himself in the Word. And she sees it. She sees him hiding right there. And people can complain and they can fuss and they say, no, no, he's not here. He's coming someday. He's going to do this. And she sees him. She knows that he's here. She sees him in every action. And when she sees other people are saying, oh, you see this great guy? You see, he's healing the sick. He's doing this. He has great gifts. He has this. And you look at it and you say, oh, that's wonderful. What's he preaching? What about the Word? What about the voice? What's he saying?
Amen.
And you immediately, he's already told you. He's already revealed to you. That's not God.
Amen.
That's not God. You're looking for one thing. The world's looking at the signs. The world's amazed at the signs. Everyone's amazed at the signs. But we're looking beyond the signs. We're looking at the voice. We're looking at the voice of God.
Amen.
See, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. These words that Jesus is speaking to those people is so prophetic, is so real and so powerful, and is so understood by the people today. In that day, they got a little bit of it, but in this day, this here is multiplied a million times from what they had in that day. All of it, every verse, every word. Now, you that would be reading from the Greek Bible would see it here now. See there means to understand. Now, if you're reading from the Greek Bible and it says, because it seeth him not, it means understandeth him not.
That's right.
And the reason you understand is because the teacher's in you, even the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
He's in you.
Yes, sir.
See, that's so true. Let me read it again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Who? The Comforter. For he dwelleth in you. See? Present tense. He dwelleth in you. Present tense. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
That's right.
Two different things.
Yes, sir.
Being with you and being in you.
That's right.
What is it? The same Comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. Anyone knows that I is a personal pronoun. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me. It's no wonder they ask him. Lord, how? That was the first thing. How are we going to see you and they don't see you? They're just thinking of seeing somebody sitting there one group is going to look at you and not see you. Another group is going to look at you and see you. How can that be? That's just like Nicodemus saying, can I re-enter my mother's womb and be born again? No. He's talking another language. He's talking another thought, a whole spiritual understanding by revelation. He's speaking to them. See? A little while and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. He's going to be in you manifesting. And at that day, I love that, at that day. And Brother Branham said, that's this day, this day. Ye shall know, you shall know. I looked that up. He said it over and over and over and over. You shall know, you shall know. I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he said it about a lot of different things. He said it, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Huh? He said, you shall know them by their fruits. And then he told us by revelation that their fruit is their teaching. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me and I in you. There's going to be, there is going to be the center of my thought. But we're going to read a little further. And let me read that also now again. Huh? At that day. And he said, this is going to be the center of his thought. Huh? That I'm in you and you in me. At that day. The great day. The judgment day. That ye shall know that I am in the Father and ye in me. And I in you. He that has my commandment and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us, and not to the world? That's cosmos, the world order. And if you got a margin reading there, you'll notice mine's a G, and it says over here, cosmos or world system. That's churches and so forth, see? How is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to them? How can you do it? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Amen? And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. There it is. There it is right there. Obedience. Obedience. See, might keep the church's sayings, but keeping his sayings, you see? The words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all of these things to your remembrance. All these things, that's the word, to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've said unto you, what purpose did God send the Holy Spirit then? Huh? What? May he add his blessings to his word. That's right. Praise be to God. That is what's living in you. And that's what's bringing to your remembrance, is him, himself, the word living in you. That's the manifestation. That's the promise. That's all that God intended in this day. And so it is a great thing. And sometimes I think that I take it for granted. Sometimes I look at it too lightly. Sometimes I think we look at things sometime and think, and I'm guilty of this myself, because being a minister, you're thinking, oh, I gotta say something deeper, or I gotta do this, or I gotta do that. And if we can just get all of those thoughts out of our mind, that we can just say what he lays on our heart. And it don't matter how simple it is, that he can take the simplest of simple and it do something. It can do something for me. It can do something for you. It's not about how deep it is. It's not about how, if you never heard it before, if it's something new, whatever it is. None of that matters. What matters is this what he once said? Is this what he once said? Is this what he wants me to do today? Is this where he wants me to go? Amen. Are we conscious of that all day long? Are we conscious of his presence all day long? Some people are, and I like being around those people, because you find that if you're conscious, and you can't help but talk about it. It's going to keep coming up. It'll keep coming up, and you're thinking about it. You're thinking about the things that he's gave you in this day. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about the revelation that he's gave you, the realization that he's gave you of where we are and what we have. So we thank him and we praise him. Amen. So much. We'll ask you to stand together with us. And now, one thing I didn't mention, I want to mention, and I wanted to wait until Brother Goomba gets back, and we will wait till he gets back to make any plans so that we can come together on those decisions. But I want you to be praying about the Easter meetings. There's several people that are wanting to come, trying to come, and from different countries. There's some different places in Africa, the brethren in Sri Lanka. And so we're sending out invitations. And for some of them, getting a visa will be really hard. Some of them, I think, they can get the visa. And so there's going to be a lot of things involved, a lot, you know, because we're a small group. Having a place for them to stay, that's going to be an issue. Having a place to hold the services, that's going to be an issue. So we want to start planning now and being prepared. We'll want to talk to you about, you know, if the ones that could possibly keep somebody in their home or whatever you could do. We'll talk about all of that as we go along, but I just want you to be praying about it for now and be thinking about, you know, that what we can do. We really like to have the building together, but there's a lot to do there. And but it is coming. It's got a roof on it now, and it's dry on the inside. And so if you haven't seen it, you can go by there sometime and take a look. It's good. And so but there's a lot of labor and a lot of expense to be done. And so we don't know if that's completely possible to do between now and then, but we want to make plans for these meetings, and we want to be able to accommodate the ones that would come in. And so just remember that as you pray. And there's a lot of things out there. And so we'll see what God does and how he leads. And we want to maybe invite some of the people here. We don't know who would come or who wouldn't come, but we want to at least invite them. And so we'll see. All right, so we're going to ask Brother Richard to come again and dismiss us in prayer. And may the Lord bless you and be with you, each one. We appreciate you so much. Bless you, brother. God bless you.
I certainly enjoyed the message tonight. It's invigorating and opened some eyes how close we are to the end. And let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you feed us in this hour, Lord. And we're satisfied with what we're hearing, Father. And we know that you're on the throne, Lord, throne of victory, Lord. You're with us, Lord, and we believe in you, Lord. And you've blessed us in so many ways, Lord. We give you thanks and praise and bless Brother Don, Lord. Comfort him, Lord. Father, and give him strength, Lord. I ask that you would bless the upcoming revival, Lord, with people from Africa and everything. I would just ask, Lord, that you make it possible and fulfill the blessings, Lord, that you've already put on us, and let us share that word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.